Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, you know, this whole series coming up with hashtag invite,
yeah.
We got to get people to invite family and friends. We want to get people to church. People need Jesus.
They really do.
You know, and
you got some ideas about how you're going to kind of promote the hashtag invite?
Well, we're going to do a whole series of sermons to build up to September 7th.
Yeah.
And September 7th is the big day where we're going to invite people. So that's going to be really, really good. So
yeah, it's all about creating an inviting culture, I guess.
I don't know what it is. Like, you know, just you got people around you all day.
All the time.
You got people at work. Oh. You got.
Here.
Oh, geez, look out. The neighbors
are up. I've got the garage door open.
Neighbors are up. Shh. You don't look at them. Don't look. Just hold on.
Okay.
Okay, quick, quick. Okay, you're gonna. Oh. That was close. We almost had to talk to them. Let me close the door. Okay, I think we're good now.
Yeah.
That was close, eh? I'm so glad that we got you guys outside. I just wanted to blow something by you. You guys see us. You know what we do, pastor in the church. We're just popping out every Sunday there. But we're having a special day, September the 7th, and we want you guys to come with us. We're asking everybody to invite family and friends and neighbors. It's going to be a big day. We're going to have a special service. Just I know you're going to enjoy it. You're going to have a blast. Would you guys like to do that? Oh, that's awesome. Well, bless you guys. Hey. All right. How many, that's pretty much it. How many know that's really what we do? Isn't it amazing that the camera followed us home that day? It's wild how that happens. How many pull in your driveway, pull right in the garage, never talk to the neighbors? Thank you for that hand. See that hand? We're going to talk about hashtag invite. We want you to invite. We are in a culture where you can be surrounded with all kinds of people and yet never talk to anybody, you know, and you can be surrounded with all kinds of people and yet never ever realize that you might be placed there for a specific reason. So we're going to spend a few weeks talking about hashtag invite. We want you to use hashtag invite on Twitter. Who has a Twitter account? Who doesn't know what Twitter is? That's awesome. And your Facebook account. Use your Twitter account. Use Impact London LDN. Hashtag Impact London LDN, hashtag invite. Start doing stuff. We want to start to trend in a very small way right here in this community. But we want to get an inviting culture right here at Impact Church. And we're headed for September the 7th. And we're going to put some tools in your hands and things in your hands to make September 7th a really huge day. On that day, we want to fill this church to overflowing in every single way with people who need Jesus or need to find a really good church where they can be blessed and touched. How many think that's a pretty awesome idea? How many aren't sure? I think it's an awesome idea. So we're going to help you get in that mode, just build that culture a little bit today. You know, this week, I went down to Windsor with Cheryl. We went down. We spent some time with Pastor Rick and Kathy Cimitero, just to hang out for a day, spent some time with them, had lunch, and had a good time. And I enjoyed just stepping out of our context and seeing what they're doing, and them sharing with us the passion they had and why they came to Windsor and what they're doing in Windsor and what they want to do in Windsor. And it refreshed me. It blessed me just to step into someone else's vision for a few minutes and see what God's doing with them. And, you know, I literally been driving around London with a refreshing on my life, a refreshing on the lens of my life. Because, you know, this May 2015, Cheryl and I will have been pastoring this church for 25 years. 25 years. I mean, that's like crazy stuff. And I know when we first came, there was this little group of senior citizens, and we used to make them go down the stairs one at a time, because if one of them tripped and fell, we'd lose half the congregation. So it was one of those things that generally, more than hearing my preaching, you could hear hearing aid squealing and all these things. And people going, "It's your hearing aid. What?" And the Jesus, "Turn to, it's your hearing aid. Turn to chapter 4 of John. Your hearing aid." So we had a lot of fun those first few years, but God blessed us pretty rapidly, quickly. We sold that little building and came down here. But, you know, our vision for coming here and even coming down into this community, and my vision for coming to London, there's so much more. There's just so much more that we want to see. There's so much more that God put in our heart 25 years ago, and it's just stirred up a fresh passion in me. Just driving down the road, stopping at streetlights and looking over at people going, "These people need Jesus." I mean, looking at people going, "This person needs to be an Impact Church." And just everywhere I go, driving down the road, go, "Look at all these people who need Jesus." And I just want to stir up in our hearts and stir up a culture of invite. You know, people are coming to Impact Church. You're inviting them. Somehow they're finding a way. People's lives are being healed, touched. They're being set free. They're being healed. Whole situations turning full 180, going in whole new directions. Their whole family's being delivered, set free, and blessed. And it's good. And you know what? There's an awful lot of more people who need to experience the goodness of God here. And it's going to happen because we're going to get an inviting culture. Amen? Say inviting culture. All right, so let's get some pressure. Hey, is that, I don't see very well, my wife tells me, but is that Josh and Janet actually here today? Wow, very good. That's awesome. Did you know Josh and Janet just moved back to London, and they're living right now in a U-Haul truck? And is that true? It's but we're so glad to have you guys here. Bless you. It's good to have you. Hashtag invite. You're putting that new neighborhood for a reason. All right, so don't make me visit. All right, so look, let's jump into John chapter 4. John chapter 4, you ready? Going to read this and just make a couple observations, and then we're going to jump into some stuff. All right, so John chapter 4, verse 1, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though he himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria." But he needed to go through Samaria. He needed to do it. He needed to go there. There was a specific reason and a purpose. He needed to go through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, and near a plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. And it was about the sixth hour, which means it's about noon. All right, say noon. Noon. All right, and a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and he said to her, "Give me a drink." Now, in that culture, you draw water in the morning and you draw water in the evening. If you're drawing water in the middle of the day, it's usually because you don't like running into people. That's like us. We like to open the garage, pull in the garage, go in the house, you know, just in case we have to talk to the neighbors. It is you, Cheryl. Don't lie to yourself. All right. So that is the way it is. Though we don't always do that. We do talk to our neighbors. Our neighbor's on the one side. She's the administrator at Gateway Church in town. And then neighbor on the other side, he's the pastor of, not West Park, but West, is it West Park? West Park, the one that looks like a mall up on whatever street that is. So he's the pastor there, and they're bombarding the neighborhood, inviting people to church because they're so very Baptist. Amen. But, you know. But I mean, I'm finding it hard to even keep up with them. I mean, it's rough. Our neighbor on the other side, they run a rib truck, and they are They are gone for like the next 4 months. We never even see them. But we're going to have to find some neighbors to get to church because we're going to win that cul-de-sac. Amen. We're going to beat the Pentecostals and the Baptists in Jesus' name. All right. Let's get back to here. Here we are. So Jesus there, he's going, and she's there at noon because obviously she doesn't want to see people and she's got issues, so she's going at noon to draw some water. Then the woman, and I love this because Jesus said, give me a drink. And I mean, literally Jesus said, can I have a drink out of your cup? Can I drink from your cup? How many like it when somebody else drinks from your cup? How many ever grew up with other people, brothers and sisters in your family, and they would take your drink and drink out of your cup? How many saw that? I had that. How many just despised your cup after somebody else licked your cup? Are you kidding? I hated it. My brothers knew that if they just took my drink, that, oh, you can have it. Oh, that's disgusting. But here's Jesus saying, I want a drink out of your cup. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, he's a Jewish teacher and a rabbi. And I mean, and look at her. I mean, she's obviously some kind of woman with some issues from Samaria. And she's a woman. He says, I want a drink out of your cup. I mean, that's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, that's really breaking through a pile of barriers to right out of nowhere say to this woman, give me a drink. I want a drink from your cup. And the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it you being a Jew ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. I mean, with Jews, Samaritans were worse than Gentiles. It was awful. But Jesus' answer said, if you knew the gift of God and who it was saying, give me a drink, you would have asked me and I'd have given you a drink of living water. Awesome. Thank you. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. You have nothing to draw with. And where are you going to get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whatever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw water. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Oh my, I mean, I just wanted a drink and now he's getting personal. Oh wow, this woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you've said, well, that's right, you don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one whom we are with right now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So we got a woman out. She's on her sixth relationship, been married five times, and here she is at the well. No wonder she was there in the middle of the day. She had some issues with some other ladies. I mean, this woman probably had not considered one of the most upstanding citizens of Samaria. So she's there in the middle of the day, but Jesus saying, I want to drink your water. And then he starts getting personal and digging into her life. She's like, what? And the woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. No way. I perceive that you are a prophet. So the woman said, I perceive you're a prophet. Verse 20, and our fathers worship on this mountain, and you Jews worship in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither do it in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You won't worship here or there. He said, you worship what you do not know, but we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking worshippers. He's seeking for those who worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And he said, when he comes, he will teach us all things. But then Jesus said to her, I who speak to you, I am he. Bam. She said, I know a Messiah is coming. Jesus said, I'm him. When he made that revelation to her, she completely embraced it and she completely received it. At this point, the disciples came back and they said, what are you talking to that woman for? What's going on over there? And then they said, I thought you were hungry. He says, I don't need anything. He says, my meat and my drink is to do the will of my Father. So we know he had to go through Samaria. He had to meet this woman. He had to have this encounter at the well with this woman. And he had that encounter and he ministered to her. And then go down to verse 39. He says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman. See, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, and he told her everything. He said, he told me everything that I ever did. Now, here you'll see that a whole city, a whole town comes to Jesus. There's people who said, we believe because of what you said. We believe. And she went and said, I found the Messiah. I found the one who knows everything about me. And here was a woman who was so full of shame, she went to a well at noon hour, and she didn't want to see people. Here was somebody whose so, life was so broken and so messed up, she was searching for satisfaction in all these other relationships. Somebody who thirsted for some reality. Suddenly, she has one encounter with Jesus. Her whole life is so radically transformed with that one encounter that she's willing to turn around, run back, and tell the whole city, I found the Messiah. That's got to be a radical transformation of a life. And you know, the person God uses is the person who has had a living, vibrant, real touch and encounter with a real God. Something that is now, something that is vibrant, and something that is powerful. You know, God uses that kind of a person. It doesn't matter, you know, what strata of, you know, the social status you come from, or you're in education or any other thing. You say, well, I can't share. I can't go tell people I found Jesus. I can't do this. I don't know enough theology. I haven't been around long enough. I'm not even sure, blah, blah, blah. I don't even understand how to explain the virgin birth. I don't understand how to explain the, you know, the fact that he ascended. I don't understand all those things. I can't. All you got to say is I have had a living, powerful encounter with a living God. It's radically changed my life, and I want to testify that you can come to him too. And really, that's all it is. I mean, this whole town can get touched by, first of all, you got to notice who's the person. It's just anybody, just like you, just like me. It's anyone. But then you got to notice the passion that you're willing now, because you've been totally set free, you're willing now to go tell everybody and anybody, you can meet the one who radically changed my life. Settle down. I just, honestly, I've got to carry on. So just hold your excitement for a second. All right. Now look at the vision statement of Impact Church. Ready? Here it is. Transforming lives to impact their world. Transforming lives to impact their world. Now the word there is there, so I looked up the word there because all the words are important in the vision statement. So I looked up there for you. There is a pronoun, a form of a possess, in the possessive case of they, used as an attributive adjective before a noun, their home, their rights as citizens there. So lives are being transformed. Our vision, our desire is that lives would come in touch with this community. And because they came in touch with this community, they would experiencing the transforming power of God. They would experience a Jesus who can radically touch their life in every way today. Like people who can be healed of Crohn's. Like people like John and Tammy. Is John still there? John, how did you get to this church? Invited by... Amazing. That is Zimmers. The Zimmers are back from holiday. The Zimmers are here. Zimmers, how did you get to this church? Invited by Chuck and Colleen. My goodness. I mean, this is so incredible. It's amazing how that stuff happens. There's so many people here today because you were invited by somebody, or somebody told you you need to go to Impact Church. Kevin, how did you get to this church? What happened? Leanne invited you. I mean, there's so many people here that are here because somebody invited you. And then there's the group over here that are on their iPhones texting their friends. They're all here because their mothers and fathers made them come. But even they need to be radically touched and impacted. Right now, they're, no, pastor, I'm hashtag impact everywhere. I'm saying, pastor's awesome today. He's preaching hard, and you're promoting the work right now, right? Just say amen. Say, yeah, that's it. What he said, yeah. All right. You know, it's all about that. It's about the, like, people who are here. Like, John's whole life was totally radically changed. He was pensioned off, may not live long, definitely will never work for a living. Don't get married because your life is over. He got healed. He got restored. He got married. He's got three kids. He's a licensed electrician. He's touching the community. And it all happened because somebody invited him to encounter the God who we worship, who he met right here. And there's so many more. I mean, my goodness. But, you know, how many other people are there that desperately need this? So there, you have a world, you have a place, you have a sphere of influence that you are responsible to meet. Now, Jesus said, I need to go through Samaria. You know what? There are issues. There are assignments for you every single day of your life. There are things that if you're paying attention, God is speaking to you and he's telling you, here, move here, release me here. And there's so much that God wants to do in and through us. But if we don't have that in the forefront of our minds, we can waste a lot of time because we don't understand what God wants to do in and through our lives. But our vision statement is transforming lives to impact their world. Amen. All right, so 2 Corinthians 10:13-16, the English Standard Version, look what it says. It says, the area of influence God has assigned to us, the area of influence God has assigned to us is to reach you. And he says, but our hope is that as your faith increases, our area of influence may be greatly enlarged so that we may preach the gospel of lands beyond you. Great verse. Here it is in the New King James Version. We, however, will not boast beyond measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us. A sphere which especially includes you. Paul is saying to the Corinthian church that I had a responsibility from God. I was given a mandate from God to influence you, to come into the realm of Corinth, and God called me to influence that sphere and bring the goodness of God and the good news of Jesus Christ to that sphere. And he said it includes you, and I have responsibility there. In the King James Version, he said, but we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Now that word rule is the Greek word kanon. Canon, and the Greek word canon is right there, and it says to a definitely bounded or fixed space within the limits of which one's power or influence is confined. So Paul is literally saying that I want to go beyond. I really have a passion to do more than just you folks, but I am waiting for your faith to come to a place of maturity. And the word canon means that it's like when you're running in a lane as a runner. You know, the runners run in their lane and you're running in your lane. And if you cross out of the lane, you're disqualified from the race. Paul's literally saying, I've got to be faithful in the sphere of my influence right now. And when I'm faithful in this sphere of influence, when I'm a good steward of the influence that God has given me now, he will push the barriers even bigger. Do you know what? There's no limit to God. There's no limit to what he wants to do in and through you. But if you're not faithful in the sphere that he has you right now, it's not likely that your influence is going to expand. There is a fixed influence. There's a realm of influence that God called you to, and you've got to be faithful in that realm. You have one right now, and you are a steward of it. How are you doing? Just turn to your neighbor and say, how you doing? I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking. That's awesome. All right. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Now, this was when Paul was in the city and he called out the demon-possessed girl, cast the devil out of her, and then the people who owned her lost all their income because she was, through demonic powers, able to tell the future. So they were upset and mad, so they got them thrown in jail. So they're in jail, and what did they do? They said, I can't believe we're serving God. We're in jail. This really stinks. I can't believe I'm just trying to serve God, and my life's miserable. I'm blocked in. No, in the middle of the night, they're thrown in jail, not just in jail, in the center of the jail, guarded with as much guarding as they could, and then they put them in stocks. First, they beat them. It says they flogged them severely. So these guys got a significant beating, and then they got thrown in the center of the prison, and then they got put in stocks. And what did they do when that happened? They said, well, serving God stinks. It's so hard serving God. You never get the desires of your heart. It's so terrible. Who'd have thought serving God would have? No, they didn't. It says they started to sing. They started to sing and praise God and say, isn't he awesome? They got rats crawling on their bloody backs, and they're going, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah. The skin of my back is being repaired by these rodents. Glory to Jesus. And it says everybody else was listening, and they all heard them. And went, wow, listen to these guys rejoicing, and they're, you know, these got beat to a pulp and thrown in stocks, and what are they so happy about? But God was listening, and he said, what an awesome song. And he started to tap his foot with them, and all of a sudden a severe earthquake took place. Is that really what happened? God tapped his foot? Yes. I asked him. He said, it's awesome. But what I love is that an earthquake is severe, and yet all it does, it doesn't knock the jail down. It just opens all the doors and sets everybody free. You know, when you worship God in the middle of your difficulty, do it on purpose, because there's all kinds of people around you who need freedom, not just you, but they'll watch you in that dark spot. They'll watch you give glory to God, and they'll see a supernatural impact in your experience that will revolutionize not just your life, but it'll set everybody free and cause many to rejoice in God. So the jailer comes down, and he's all, wow, this is terrible. I'm going to be, you know, he grabs a sword, and he's about to thrust it through, and they went, oh, wait a minute, we're all here. You know, we didn't go anywhere. I know the cells are all open, but we're all still hanging out. We could have all run for it, but we're all still here. Relax, don't do anything. And then he said, oh, yeah, well, I'm in big trouble. He says, just believe on God. He says, just trust him. And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your whole household. Your whole household. And that word is the word oikos. And the word oikos means the place that one has their fixed abode or residence. The place where their family is. The place where they have descendants of one. So your household is more than just your immediate family. It can be your whole neighborhood. It can be your whole sphere of influence. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that your whole neighborhood is saved. But when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be manifesting powerfully and demonstrating the goodness of God to a whole community. Your sphere of influence. Just made up that word. Your sphere of influence is powerful. Now listen, let's go to this. Identify your sphere. Number one, we're going to identify your sphere, and then we're going to talk about how to impact your sphere, all right? Number one, identify your sphere. Oh, that was our good friend. Actually, that said, Heidi Ho, neighbor, but how do you know that? How many know that's a lot of people's revelation of Christianity is Ned Flanders. That's pretty much all the Christianity they have. Then how many remember this guy? Remember Wilson over the, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's got a fence. You got a neighbor, all those things. And then there's, I remember this fella. I remember that guy. Hello, neighbor. Where all these folks, oh, that was awesome. Okay, let's move on. You ready? Here we go. Identify your sphere. You ready? Going to identify your sphere. Number one, you got people. Say my people. I got my people. Mark 5:19 says, go home to your friends and tell them the great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. This is a demoniac. This is somebody who was chained in the tombs, just, you know, thousands of demons, a legion of demons. This guy got set free. And then he says, Jesus, that was awesome. I want to hang out with you now. But Jesus said, no, don't come following me. What I want you to do now is I want you to go tell your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Say, my people. You've all got people. Let's start with your sphere of people. Who are your people? I'll tell you who your people are. You know, they say that everybody has a group of people, and it usually is about a dozen, some more, some less, but there's about a dozen people that you spend no less than an hour of intimate time a week. Now, you can take your week and you can narrow it down and you could find out who are those 12 people in your life. But everybody's got 12 people that they are spending time with, I mean intimate time. Sadly, the same study said that fathers spend about 7 minutes a day with their children, which means that 7 times 7 is 49. That means that's not even in the 12, which is very sad. They should be in your 12. But you generally have at least 12 people that you spend enough time with. Some, it's many more hours a week, but there are 12 people that you spend intimate time with in a given week. Those are your people. Those are your oikos. Those are your friends. That group of 12 people should have been constantly hearing from you, look what the Lord has done. Now, if the Lord hasn't done anything good for you today, you can come to the altar and we're going to pray for you later. But I know all of you pretty much, God's done good stuff for you. And that group, that sphere, my people, my oikos, your family, your close friends, those people should know and they should have had expressed from you constantly, God is good, should be the elevator music of your life. Your people say, my people, my people. All right, my people. Number two, my place. My place. You all got a place. You got people and you got a place. Acts 17:26-27. From one man, he made the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so they would Seek him. God did this so that people would ask why. Have you ever wondered, why am I alive today? Why do I live where I live? Why am I in this place? Why do I have these boundaries on my life? Did you know that Paul, when he was preaching, he said, God has established the boundaries of your life. He put you in a specific time in history. In his story, he decided that you are best suited here. And then in that story, he also said, not only in this place and time, but in this physical place, I have put you here for a purpose and for a reason. So you, I'm not saying this, it's the word of God. You have a place where God has planted you and established you. You also have a people that God has put you amongst. Your people and your place should be saturated with your story. Your people and your place should know all about the goodness of God. You know, the number one reason I'm standing on 2 feet and in my right mind today is Jesus and him alone. I saw what I could do with my life. And when I surrendered to Jesus, I can tell you, it all went on a massive upswing. I would be nothing today without what Jesus has done in my heart and in my life. And everybody in my people and everybody in my place should know that my God is a good God, and he totally accepts me, and he completely accepts you. We all got my place, and we all got my people. Now, number three is my passion. My passion. How many got a passion? We've all got passion. Inside of the fact that you are where you are amongst your people, you also have been placed in where you are location and place-wise, but also inside of you, you've got desires. You've got passions. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give to you desires. He will put passions in you. He will wire you as you delight yourself in the Lord. There are things that he's pre-wired you to be excited about and passionate about. You know, you have passions that are unique. Like Brian and Lorna, I mean, they're off on vacation, but Brian and Lorna had a passion to one day be able to buy a boat and float around the Caribbean. And they wanted to retire and live on a boat for 6 months of the year floating in the Caribbean islands. That was their passion. Well, that was wrong. I mean, my goodness, that means 6 months of the year they're not here at Impact Church. 6 months of the year they're floating somewhere in the Caribbean. 6 months of the year they are out of the purposes of Carl Thomas. Hallelujah. No, you know what it means? It means 6 months of the year, they're having a blast. They're enjoying themselves. They're fulfilling their dreams and their desires. They're floating around the Caribbean, and there's a whole community of people that are doing that, and God has placed them in that community. And Brian's saying, it's amazing the encounters I'm having with people in this stage of their life and in this place of their life that I'm able to minister from boat to boat, from person to person, from harbor to harbor, from place to place. I'm able to demonstrate the goodness of God. I thought I was just retiring, and no, I'm more engaged now in sharing the purpose of God in my life than ever. I mean, you might be like Bobby. I'm in a passion to be a bowler. You don't have a passion to be a bowler, Bobby? Did you sell your ball and your shoes? I mean, you might actually love bowling. And you might go, this bowling's getting in the way of serving Jesus. It's not. It could be something that God put on your heart. God wants you to do that. God wants you to be engaged with a whole culture and a whole group of people. And your passion also puts you in a place of influence. Your passion is your sphere of influence. You could love flying model planes. And you go, man, I'm out here flying a model plane. I'm really wasting time. I could be at home on my face reading my Bible. But here I am enjoying this plane. Look around. There's other people enjoying the plane. Talk to the other people that are flying planes. That is your sphere of influence. It's when the church is totally pulled out of society. And, you know, if any church ever teaches you, don't have any fun, don't go do something you enjoy. I mean, 24/7 being your face in front of God. You've got a sphere of influence. You've got a sphere that you are called the steward. You've got passions in your heart. I mean, your career, your whole career, what you're doing. I mean, you got Dr. Rowe, he's over there at Ivy Business School. Oh, that's just my seed. It gets my seed bag, and it's what I do, and I keep my church life out of my... No, he's there, and he's manifesting the kingdom. He's manifesting God. He's crazy enough to invite his pastors to a dinner with all of his other profs and people, and they get to ask me all kinds of crazy questions, and he's causing those worlds to collide, and he's causing the influence that he has over at Western University to collide with the personal encounter that he has with God, and he's exposing other people in this world to that world, and he's trying to pervade that world with the goodness of God. No, there's things that you want to do. There's a career that you want to pursue, your job, your workplace, the things you enjoy. Baseball, play baseball, go be a shining light in baseball. I mean, so often we've tried to tell Christians, oh, don't do that carnal stuff. Some of those things God put in your heart. I mean, Tim's running a landscaping business, and he's doing it to the glory of God. He's running into people, and he's putting land enhancer signs up, and he's touching people's homes and blessing people's neighborhoods, and every client encounters the life of God inside him. How does a young man like you just get out and do this kind of business? Wow, and you're getting married at such a young age. Man, you are countercultural. I mean, you're that young, you're getting married, you're running your own business. I mean, that you're not at all like the kids I run into today. Where are you from? What planet are you from? I'm from Impact Church. I mean, he's manifesting a culture. He's out there doing something. And you know what he's doing every day is demonstrating his sphere of influence is being just invaded with the goodness of God. Can I get a hello? Can I get a how you doing? Thank you. Thank you for coming. All right, so that's your passion. Come on, you got a passion. Don't be afraid of your passions. Amen. Mine is to sit on the couch and watch college football. It's awesome. Who's laughing at that? What's going on there? You have no idea how many people are sitting on the couch watching college football. It's a big group. My sphere is amazing. Just trying to figure out how to influence it. Amen. All right. Good question. How do I impact that? Let's go on to impact your sphere. You ready? Impact your sphere. Number one, the first way, and all this alliteration is all for you, all right? My manner, my manner, my manner, my manner, my attitude, my posture, the way I live my life. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that they will have the right response for everyone. You'll have the right response. I love that. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. I just had a, you know, pastor telling me I got to get in my people, my place, and my passions, and I got to start sharing Jesus with you folks. So I'm ready to go right now. You're all going to hell. Try it, I'm telling you. No, your manner should be, let your conversation be gracious, gracious. See, here's the good news. God already accepts you. You may not have been looking for him, but he's already found you. He's all over you. He totally accepts you. He totally loves you. Do you believe that? He's nuts about you. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. I mean, I want to hang with that person. Like people, you know, Tim comes in their backyard. They go, man, I wish my kid hung out with people like you. I mean, this kid who does her lawn, it's not that he's just good looking, but his life is attractive. I mean, Jenna thinks he's hot. But it's not just that kind of attractive. It's that attractive where you're like, take me to your leader. Where you come from? I mean, it's amazing. I feel attracted to that life. Amen? So your manner. Give me another scripture. It's 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 to 12. Make it your goal. All right, maybe you're not contagious or attractive yet, but make it your goal. Another pastor says, make it your ambition. So maybe you're not there yet, but make it your ambition, okay? Make it your ambition to live a quiet life, minding your own business, and working with your hands. That's why we pull right into the garage. It's this scripture. Mind your own business, pull right into the garage, don't talk to neighbors. No, that's not it. Minding your own business, working with your hands, just as we instructed you before, then people who are not believers will respect the way you live. You know what? I mean, preach always, but use words only if necessary. It's who you are. It's your life. People should just be observing you and suddenly tapping you on the shoulder going, what is it about you? There's something about you that I love. It's attractive. It's contagious. I am just drawn to you. Tell me your story. It's all about Jesus. I met the lover of my soul, and he satisfied me in every way, and I live every day out of the overflow of his goodness and his grace. I had a drink of the living water. I had a drink, and I now have a fountain that flows on the inside of me. Nothing outside of me can affect me, because I got a well deep on the inside that satisfies like none other, and I overflow, and I gush with the goodness of God. Give me another one. You ready? Here we are. Another thing. Second one is, you know, here it is. My moments. Say my moments. My moments. My manner. Your manner is important. Live it every day. But then you got moments. Psalm 37, 23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Now listen, Jesus said, I have to go through Samaria. I've got to go. This is important. There's something there for me. He knew he had a special assignment. You need to be aware of the moments in your life. As you're going through your day, there are moments. I remember one I had when we were on vacation, and I was at a beach, just enjoying the beach, and I'd kind of observed this lady and her son, and they were there, and I could tell they had some issues. I don't know if he wanted to be there, but, you know, I was going, that looks like a complicated situation. But I was like, I got the ministry hat off. I'm on holidays, hallelujah. And I was like, just walk big circles around that one. But then all of a sudden I'm at the beach and she's floating around in the water too. And as she started to float, I floated further away. And then I went further away. And then I went further away. And all of a sudden came up by me, hey. And I went, oh no, hey, how are you? I said, I'm great. Where are you guys from? I said, we're from Canada. I said, I'm from Canada. Oh, that's great. And then she told me some stuff. Then she poured out about her son, and she's got him down here because he's got all those things going on in their lives. And blah, blah, blah. What do you do for a living? I work for the ministry. I thought, you know what? That's good, because she might think Ministry of Environment, Ministry of Transportation. And I said, that's cool, isn't it? Like, I think that was fair. And I thought, maybe that's it. You know, and I'm like, oh, no. You know what? Here is, without question, a moment. And I, you know what? I knew the moment was coming. As soon as I saw her, I knew that I'm going to have a moment with this lady. That there, on this holiday, there's a divine appointment. But I was like, I'm tired. I'm on holiday. The next day, we ministered to her, and then we spent another whole day. We took her with us on a whole outing, rented a Jeep, and brought her with us. And, you know, we ended up spending a lot of time just really ministering to this lady, and it was a divine appointment. It was one of those ones I was trying to miss, but I got it anyway. Yeah. You know, there are holy moments all around you. You know, you think that you got this great education, and you got this job. But, you know, God put you right where you are. And sometimes you're avoiding moments, you're avoiding things, but there's people all around you. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be some Bible thumper. You don't have to be Ned Flanders. But you can be yourself. And there's people in your schools, you're wondering, how did I get stuck beside that person? You get the square dancing class, you're like, how did I get hooked up with that girl? I mean, all those things happen. And wherever you're doing, whatever you're doing, you wonder why. You got to be aware that there's moments all around you. And you're responsible for those moments. And you're responsible to say, right now, in my sphere of influence, I am stewarding God's heart and his desire to reach these people. Say amen just for fun. Come on. All right. Let's go to number three. My message. Say amen just for fun. Right, Daryl? Come on. Absolutely. I mean, man, it pains me. All right. My manner, my moments, and my message. Always be prepared. Come on, say that with me. Always be prepared. Are you prepared? Like, if I walked up to you right now and said, I mean, why should I accept Jesus? Somebody came and says, man, I look at your life and see what's going on with you. What is it about you that makes you so attracted? There's something. I'm like drawn to you. What is it about you? I use Axe spray. Well, some people I wish they did. Hallelujah. But anyway, yeah. Maybe three bottles. Anyway, be prepared. Do you right now, do you have a little working track? Do you have something that you know, something that you've rehearsed, something that you can immediately, if somebody wanted, because it says, be prepared to answer everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. There's something in you. You live with a hope. You embrace life. There's something different about you. What is that about you? You gotta rehearse something. You gotta have something. You gotta have it. Use Axe spray if you have to. That's at least a good start. You know, at least you're not repelling people. But give them the reason you hope, but do this with gentleness and respect. Do this with gentleness and respect. You're going to hell. You're loved by God. He's always loved you. You've never lived an unloved moment. And he even orchestrated this opportunity for us to talk right now. He loves you. He accepts you. He's forgiven you. He wants to come into your life, and he wants to bring you into an intimate relationship with his Father that's going to revolutionize every aspect of you. There's something in you that he wants to satisfy that nothing else can. And when he's satisfied, you're forever going to be changed, and you're forever going to be satisfied with the goodness of God. You got to be able to rehearse something. You got to be able to say something. You got to have a message. Give you another scripture. Ready? 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us now the ministry. Say ministry. Amen. How many of you people are in the ministry? Everybody in the ministry, put your hand up right now. You are all in ministry, every single one of you. You're not waiting to get in ministry. A lot of people go, if I get in ministry, I would do this. You're in ministry right now. Get on with it. And you know what? The sphere that you're in, it can get bigger if you're faithful in the sphere you're in right now. So you got to do that. He said he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. What happened at the cross? What was going on there? I mean, what was really going on? What is that about Jesus? God the Father, through that sacrifice and his Son giving himself, he literally reconciled the whole world to himself through the finished work of the cross. That's what was going on. God the Father was dealing with every sin issue, every hopeless issue, every broken issue, every issue of the devil, every aspect of the fall. God completely dealt with it in his Son, and he reconciled the world to himself in his Son. And I'm told to go out and tell everybody, you have been reconciled to God. I'm an ambassador of that reconciliation. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Man, that's some good stuff right there. That's some good stuff. Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. Not a light, not a competing light. You are the light. If the light is on, it's because the body of Christ is shining. If there's no light, it's because we're not shining. You are. If we want to see light overcome the darkness, we just got to let it out. We are the light of the world. We shouldn't hide it. We should be like a city on a hill. I mean, put it in the highest place. Let it shine as much as you can. It says, for your light so shining before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. One more verse. You ready? It's just before that. It's you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Salt, a little acrostic for salt. You ready? We're going to see people as people Jesus values. That's what we're going to do. Do you know Jesus values every single person? He really does. We're going to accept as Jesus accepts. We're going to accept them where they are, how they are, whatever condition they're in. You know what? What they first of all need to know is we unconditionally accept you, completely accept you. The L, we're going to love you as Jesus loved. And what is that? That is totally, completely, and unconditionally. And then T, we're going to touch you as Jesus did, and it's going to be a transformational touch where your life will never be the same. You are the salt of the world. You have my people. You have my place. You have your passions. And in that sphere, you have a responsibility to manifest the goodness of God. Get your finger like this. Get it like this. Point at your neighbor. Say, I think he's talking to you. Now, we're gonna continue on this theme all the way up to September 7th. Then September 7th, we're going to blow the place up. We're going to have an incredible service where we're going to loose the transformational glory of God on every person in this room. People's lives will be touched. Bodies will be healed. People will be set free. They'll never be the same. The vision statement of this church, what are we all about? It's about transforming lives to impact their world. You got a world. And our whole thing is that you get so wrecked in the goodness of God that your place, your people, and your passion, the things that you love to do, everywhere you are is invaded with the goodness of God. People are healed just because they stood beside you on the bowling alley, just because they stood beside you because you just love chicken wings. I mean, whatever you're doing, be the salt of the world. Be the light there, that pronoun. It's possessive. Your realm needs to be radically influenced by God. Come on, stand up with me. Hashtag invite. Hashtag invite. Hashtag invite. Now, how many folks actually are friends with Impact Church on Facebook? How many have given up Facebook because you thought it was getting in the way of you praying and loving Jesus? How many got gossiping on Facebook? How many are creeps on Facebook? You just creep all the time because you're bored, you know? You're allowed to creep if you're praying for them. Jesus, hallelujah. You know, we can use this as a pretty amazing tool. We can use Twitter, all these things. But what we need you to do is something really simple. Like when we send stuff out, how many think our videos are obnoxious? Thank you. Thank you. How many do, but you just wouldn't put your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. You know, we do some of this stuff and some of the things we're doing. We're sending stuff. You see it on Facebook. You go, oh, you know, you can click like. Now, why should you click like? Well, I don't like it. Please like it. You're coming to this church, all right? They already saw you drive in the parking lot. You know what? Don't only like it, send it. You know, if we get 3 or 4 shares, it actually impacts hundreds of times that it actually gets sent out and seen by people. Don't you literally, you are a force of advertisement for lives are being touched in this community I belong to. I'm in a community of people where when they gather, there's testimonies of lives transformed, bodies healed. I mean, people delivered and set free. It's incredible what happens in our community. It's actually worth talking about. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's worth talking about. Don't be afraid to click on Facebook. And then there's another little button that's called share. If you click share, well, it might go on my Facebook page. Oh, well, you're too awesome for our stuff. Awful, you know. Of course, your world is far too awesome to have something from our world in it. Are you kidding? Go to another church then. My God. Share. Like, share. Somebody desperately needs Jesus out there. Might actually see that and go, what's that all about? I might go check that out. Hello? I'm messing with you, right? No, I'm serious. Come on. This is some simple stuff. I mean, if you can't even press a share button or a like button, how are you going to tell somebody, I love Jesus? It's not complicated. Anyway, just messing with you. And then we got hashtag invite because we actually want to make hashtag invite a big deal. If you don't have a Twitter account, get one. All right. We're doing a Facebook, Instagram, all that stuff. So we're gonna hashtag a bunch of stuff. But we just wanna get going with this stuff. And all you guys are even on your phones right now, you know, just send one to Pastor Carl, all right? Say Pastor Carl, hashtag invite Pastor Carl. So do that right now. I want at least 3 of them on my webpage before I go. All right. You feeling me at all today, anybody? We're pushing hard for September 7th. I really believe this September is going to be an incredible harvest time. There's so many things going on right now. We've just got so many inroads to so many things. I really believe it's going to be a real blessed period in the church overall. I really do. I think this September is going to be a blast for the kingdom in every way. Some big things going to happen. But how many know when it's raining, you got to ask for your rain too. And we got a responsibility to ask for ours. So we're going to be blessed. All right. So just close your eyes, bow your heads just for a second. Are you ready? Hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I just don't want to let you go today without knowing Jesus. So very simply, right now, if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, I want you to. If you wandered in here today, I don't know all of you, so if you wandered in here today and you don't know Jesus, before you go, I want you to know him. I want you to know what I know. I want you to experience what I've experienced. I want you to know that he's accepted me and radically changed my life, and it's all very, very good. And I want you to know that goodness as well. And I can very simply lead you to the knowledge of him through a simple prayer. And I can just, you just got to say, I believe he accepts me. And it's so good. But I just want to ask you to do one thing. Could you do this for me? If you want to accept him today and you want to say, oh, I'd accept. I believe that you love me. I believe I'm forgiven. I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3 and then throw your hand up and we're going to pray. It's that easy. You ready? 1, 2, 3 Throw up your hand. Let me see it. Wherever you are, let me see your hand really high in the sky. Come on, lift it up. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lift it up really high. Come on, everybody pray with me. You ready? Everybody pray. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me that I could have life. You forgave me. You've healed me. You've restored me. You've reconciled me to my Heavenly Father. I believe you. I receive you. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Fill me with your spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, look up, look way up. Your sins are forgiven. You're a child of God. You're reconciled to the Father. You have access to every single benefit of his kingdom. Welcome home. Welcome home. Father, in Jesus' name, bless this house. Father, I pray that, you know, we wouldn't look at this next few weeks as, you know, we're just trying to drum everybody up. He's disguising an evangelism series. My goodness, you know. Lord, I pray that we would just have fresh eyes for our community, fresh eyes for the street we live on, fresh eyes for the people we live next to, fresh eyes for the person in front of me at Tim Hortons, fresh eyes to be open to the divine moments and divine appointments you've already established for me even today. Let us be aware, Lord, that you have a passion to see this community flooded with your glory. Thank you for using me. Thank you for using us. Thank you for the goodness we walk in right now. So, Lord, bless each and every one right now. Flood them each right now with an increasing knowledge of the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, your love, the revelation of it, the depth, the height, the width, the breadth, let it explode in every life. And Holy Spirit, thank you for your continued fellowship and partnership in every issue of this kingdom journey. I thank you that I am well equipped, that I am well able to superabound and exceed in every situation. So I bless them now in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.